The Bible says in Proverbs 29 in verse 18, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You can be seated tonight. As we read this verse right here, and you could call it, as my Bible says, it's just some sundry proverbs in that of Solomon tonight. But he says in the latter part, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And there's a lot of truth to that tonight. In Psalms chapter 1, it talks about the godly man, the righteous man. The Bible said that he delighteth in the law of the Lord. He loves God's book. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so he thinks about the word of God and in keeping it. But he says, he that keepeth the law. So if we keep God's word and try our best to strive to do that, he said, happy is he. If you want to be happy in the Lord tonight, keep his word. Amen. Listen tonight. The word of God is perfect in everything tonight. And so it's good for your home. It's good for your heart. It's good for your job site. It's good for everything. It's good for this church. It's good for you, preacher, tonight. He said, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But I want to look at the first part of this verse where he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision means the act of seeing, a sight, or something to be imagined or seen. Now we understand that those mean two different things right there when we talk about something to be imagined or to be seen. When somebody has seen a vision, if you'd let me say that. Now let me say, in the Old Testament and in the early church, God dealt and that with visions. That's how that they received and that the word of God. Before we receive the completed word of God, what we have before us here, God would move on men, God would deal with men and let them see some things that he wanted them to see. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And he's talking about the word of God right there. He said that they did not go. God was not revealing himself and that to anybody at that point and that time. We've seen some of that this morning. As a matter of fact, the Bible also called a prophet a seer. He could see things that God and that wanted him to see. But the Bible talks about right here by way of introduction. It talks about the place. It didn't say when there is no vision. He said where there is no vision. He said when you get around people and in a place where there is no vision and that of God and of God's word and that of people, and I'm going to deal with those things here in a minute, he said people are going to perish, and there's a lot of truth and that tonight. There's people dying and that for the lack of God's word tonight. As a matter of fact, Jesus told him over that one point, he said, you do therefore err because you know not the scriptures nor the power of God. It is the book that has the power of God in it tonight, and I'm way ahead of myself. Amen. But listen tonight, I want to look at two things. I just got a few thoughts I just kind of scratched out here that God's give us, and we certainly need his touch tonight, so you pray for us. But he said where there is no vision, the people perish. Number one tonight, I believe it's the church and it's God's people. We certainly need a vision and that of God's word tonight. Listen, in Samuel's day, as I read a few minutes ago, there was no open vision. And boy, it was precious in those days. Boy, when they heard from God, boy, it was so great. It was something that they needed, something that they wanted. Friend, today we hold the perfect inerrant word of God in our hand. Most of us has got more than one book in our house. It's got the Bible. And friend, it's nothing major and nothing big to us. But in the days of Samuel, they were not getting much from God. And when they did, it was important. I'm afraid tonight we have lost our vision and that for the word of God. This book is important. I go back to what Jesus said, you do therefore err, not knowing the scriptures. I mean, listen, if you want to know about God, if you want to know what the Lord wants, and that out of your life tonight, listen, friend, you and I are going to have to get in the scripture and begin to dig for it, and you'll certainly find it tonight. Listen, the Bible said when it talked about the righteous man there, the in Proverbs, is it Proverbs, Psalms, excuse me, in Psalms chapter 37. In Psalms chapter 37, I believe it talks about the righteous man over here. Let me get to the right chapter. And it begins to tell us some things and that about the Word of God. Let me see if I can find it here. It said, the mouth of the righteous, talking about the righteous man, speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Now, where was the Word of God at? It's in his heart, wasn't it? It's in his heart. Well, when we can hide the Word of God in our heart. I preached on that a little bit this morning about getting that Word of God into your children's heart. But we need it hid in my heart. He said at one point over there, he was talking about hiding the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against him. We teach these youngins in Vacation Bible School. It's coming up. My mind can't let go of Vacation Bible School right now. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. And I believe God's going to do something. If we'll just fall down on our knees and seek Him and just pray for Him to come by. And we'll do our part. And I'll guarantee you He'll do His. Amen. Listen, if we can present Jesus to them young'uns that's lost and undone without Him, I believe God can do something in that week of Vacation Bible School. Said, preacher, you looking for folk to come? I sure am. Amen. Hey, listen, if you ain't looking for folk to come, I don't know if I'd come myself. Amen. I look and you say, well, what happens if they don't? Well, then they don't. But friend, I'm telling you, I'm looking for God to do something. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, if we lose vision of that thing, then why ain't bothering to start on it tonight? Amen. Well, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But we've lost the vision and that of the Word of God. We've lost the vision of it and that to tell sinners what the Bible says about Jesus. Can I tell you that? I mean, folk need to. A lot of times we try to get folk cleaned up and want them to do right and before they ever get saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I mean, hey, we've lost the reason. We've lost the vision of what we're supposed to be doing to win lost people.
Amen.
Hey, it's not programs. It's not plans. It's preaching tonight. Amen. I love what they said about Big Jim Seaton. Folk would ask him years ago, said, what do you got for the youth down at the church? What do you got for this and that? And he'd say, look, he said, we've got Sunday school on Sunday morning. Then we've got preaching. Amen. Hey, you know what changed your heart? Preaching tonight. You know what changed my heart? Preaching. Amen. And that out of the Word of God. Thank God for that tonight. I like preaching. The Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but we, us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross can save sinners tonight. Amen. Paul said in Romans 1 and 16, you ought to know this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I don't ever want to lose sight of the gospel in my preaching. Amen. Hey, we're all saved tonight, sitting in church tonight, because of the gospel. Amen. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to get lost sinners. And I say we need to. Hey, and I'm telling you, we need to tell them, preach to them, teach to them, tell them, look, here's what the Bible says about you. Here's what it says about Jesus. And here's what it says He can do for you if you'll come to Him. Amen. And we say that, tell them that, and then let God do the rest. Do you know that we can't convince folk that they're sinners tonight? Holy Spirit had to do that in my heart. He had to do the convincing. He had to do the convicting. And He had to do the converting tonight. Amen. He had to do every bit of that. I couldn't do it. But I'll tell you what, it's because somebody told me about Christ. A preacher preached. Sunday school teachers taught. Mom and daddies lived right before their children and told me about Jesus. Amen. But it's the Word of God that does the work. Do you know that? What was it Peter said over there, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible? By the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Listen tonight, I'm telling you, it is the preaching of this book that saves sinners tonight. Ephesians 1:13, Paul said, in whom you also trusted, told about Christ in the prior verse. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you receive with that Holy Spirit of promise. It takes the preached book tonight, the preached word of God, to get sinners saved. For God to work, for God to move tonight. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder and soul and the spirit of the joints and the mire, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why it works tonight. There's power in the word of God.
Amen.
Folk are wanting to sing it down, and I love good singing. Y'all know me. I love good singing. I love it. I love it when heaven comes down, when the singing's going on. But we ain't going to sing it down. And I'll be honest with you tonight, the preacher ain't going to preach it down either tonight. But I'm telling you, when you take the word of God, you begin to expound on it and edify from it tonight, God can do something with it tonight. Amen. God can do something with it. And so we need to realize, get a vision of the word of God, and realize that it's this book that does the work. It's this book that's left on this earth that'll do the work, that's got power in it. That it can do things that me and you can't do. It'll stay intact in folks' mind after we leave. God can take that and just let it dwell in their mind and in their heart and change that sinner. Can I tell you that too many churches have lost sight of the Word of God and lost sight of Him, by the way. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when we lose sight of Him, the one that loved the church and gave Him, I was just a preacher preach on that on the way here, that loved the church and gave Himself for it. Listen tonight, when we lose sight of Him, we might as well close the doors and go home.
Yes.
Because it ain't going to work tonight. Can I tell you, it's all about Him. It's all about Him tonight. People call this Bible a hymn book, and I'd agree with them. Hey, it's all about Him from the very beginning and that to the very end. In Revelation chapter 22, it's about Him tonight. Hey, can I tell you what made a difference in Isaiah's life tonight? And I know I spoke about this the other day, but in Isaiah chapter, take your Bible and go to Isaiah 6. I want you to see it with me tonight. In Isaiah 6, and look what your Bible says. A very well-known verse in Isaiah 6. What did he say? Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, with 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and 20 did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. Now ain't that amazing tonight about heaven? What's going on up there? Man, they some serpent. They is some creatures up there tonight that me and you ain't never seen before. So why would God create something like that? I don't know. I ain't God. I ain't about to try to surmise on that whole thing. But He did tonight. And look, they're crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The Bible said, and the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Talking about the temple over there. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm going to tell you, when you get a glimpse of Him, when you get a vision of Him, listen, after you're saved and you get a vision of Him, it'll change how you look at some things. How do you figure, preacher? Did it not change how Isaiah looked at himself to start with? It was when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was when he saw Him in His glory. It was when he saw Him for who He was, the King and the Lord of hosts. Hey, listen, he began to see himself for what he was. And boy, when I begin to see Him for who He is, it changes my viewpoint of who I am, friend. We lose a vision of the Word of God if we're not careful. But if we ain't real careful, we'll lose a vision of Him. Him. So, preacher, that's all simple tonight. It is very simple. But I see churches all the time losing a vision of Him.
Yes.
Losing a vision of Him. God help us not to lose a vision of Him. God help us not to lose a vision of this book. Because, friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a lot of churches that lost the vision of this book and out of this book. Because they ain't living by this book. They ain't preaching this book. I'm glad folk are preaching Christ and Him crucified. Amen. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm tickled to death because that's what's going to get sinners saved tonight. But I look across this crowd and I don't know your salvation. Only you know that. It's between you and the Lord. But I dare say most people are sitting in here saved tonight. And it's always good to hear about what Christ done for me. Amen. I love to hear it. But I'm going to tell you, I need to get preached to every now and again. And I need to know that I've been preached to. And I need help. I'll be honest with you. I need help. I need instruction out of the Word of God. And I found one thing, that when I need help, I find it always in the Word of God. I'll find me some preaching somewhere and try to find me some help. Amen. Hey, listen, Paul, when he realized, but Paul, he begins to talk about his life and his life with Christ. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul never lost his vision of Christ.
Amen.
He never lost it. He knew who bought him. He knew who paid for him. And he knew who he was living for as he was living his life. I'm not living for me. I'm not living for you, and I'm not living for this church. I'm living for Him tonight. I don't ever want to lose vision of that. I don't want to lose vision of Him nor the Word of God. For it's both of them that directs in our life tonight, ain't it? Amen? This book cleanses us. It comforts us when we need it. But I'm going to tell you, it'll guide us. And I mean, what did He say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What was it I was talking about in Vacation Bible School? And we have that one standing in the middle up here on the pledges. And you know, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. That's what we do. We pledge allegiance to this book right here because this is the book that God gave us and that to live by. And we'll make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path and hide its words in my heart that I may not sin against God. Listen tonight, it's this book that we need to light up our path. When you lose a vision of what's guiding your home, what's guiding your life, you're in trouble tonight. He said, where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no vision, people perish. You know why people are dying all around us tonight? You know why that is? Dying going to hell. We're not taking the Word of God out to them, are we? Need to take the Word to them tonight. It'll make all the difference. It'll make all the difference. Number two or number three, however you want to look at it tonight. Listen, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm afraid tonight that we've lost the vision of people. Lost the vision of people. I'm telling you, this is a simple message tonight. We've lost the vision of people. I remember, and I've told y'all this, and I've talked to some of you about it. I remember at times as I'd be running down the interstate and traffic would be coming, I would think to myself, I reckon those folk are saved. You ever think that? Just going down the road and traffic coming at you as it's passing you. You say, reckon those folk are going to heaven. Reckon they know about the Lord. What about people you pass in the Walmart or the grocery store? Do you ever think about them or that you might be next to as you're pumping gas at the gas station? You ever think, wonder about their soul over there? Wonder if they're saved. I remember I talked to a fellow one time at the gas station and he was raising sand about something. I can't remember what it was now. Exactly, but I went over and talked to him. He's trying to talk to me, he's trying to talk to me. He's mad, and I was trying to witness to him. That didn't go real well. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I should have just let him be mad and went on, you know. But listen, I was trying to talk to him about the Lord, and he said, I'll give this to my wife. I don't believe in established religion. I'm more power to you for here, but I'm going to tell you that Christ is going to die and go to hell. Need to get saved. Amen. And that's just the way it is tonight. But we lose sight of people tonight. We lose sight of lost folk. We do. Now this church is here for more than just to get folks saved. But we're here to get folks saved. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to get folks saved. Now, I mean, listen, let me ask you tonight. How much witnessing do we do? I mean, seriously, I'm just asking a question tonight. If we really had a vision of people and of souls and really thought Jesus was coming and really thought they were running out of time, would we not be doing more to try to get them saved than what we're doing? What was it Paul said at one point? He said, "Unto whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man." Paul said, everybody I come in contact with, I warn every man. He said, in teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The Lord put it this way. He said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the field. He said at one point, he said, say not ye yet that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest, for the harvest is white already. What is he talking about? He says, you know, 4 months when they would plant the seed, and then 4 months then would come the harvest. That's what he's saying. Don't wait till that time. Don't say we're going to plant the seed and then wait 4 months. Look, that time has already been done. That seed is done sown. It's already come to fruition. It's already come to harvest. And he said, folk are ready to be harvested. They're ready to be saved. He said, we can't make folk. He said, we cannot make folk get saved. But we can sure enough tell them about Christ, can't we, tonight? Lose our vision of people. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And boy, that ought to do something for us tonight. We're in a world of spiritual darkness. And we're the only light that some people's got. How bright are we shining tonight? Preacher, I'm backward and I'm shy and I'm all those things. You may be, friend, but I'm telling you, just let your light shine. Let your light shine before people. Let your light shine before the world. And what was it? They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We've lost a vision of people tonight. Lost a vision of lost people. I don't ever want to lose my vision of lost people. Here lately, I've not handed out tracts as much as I should have. And I found myself, not as bad as I have been for a little while, but I found myself without them. And do you know how aggravating that is when you know you ought to have a tract in your pocket somewhere? And what I always hate is for the Lord to say, well, why don't you say something to them or give them a tract? And then I reach up here into my pocket. No, there ain't no tract. And then I'm sitting here wondering, what am I about to do here? How much does God really want me to go over here and deal with this person about their salvation? Does he really want me to go talk to them, or am I just making that up? I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't going to send you somebody to witness to them. Your flesh just ain't going to come up with that on its own, friend. Your flesh don't want to go witness to people. I'll guarantee you that right now. But I tell you, that man that's on the inside of you, listen, that moves in your heart and says, hey, go over there and say something to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never, and I know I've said this 2 or 3 times, but I'll never forget coming back out of South Georgia down there and pumping gas. And I don't know if we was in Macon, I can't remember where we were at, but I mean, God smote my heart, man. And I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't leave that gas station without talking about that gentleman that was sweeping the parking lot about Jesus before I left. And I've told you the story. Man, we tore our car apart looking for a tract. We both had our Bibles with us. We tore every Bible apart looking for tracts. Went through boxes, envelopes, the glove box, I mean the console. Surely somewhere in this vehicle there's a tract. Nope, not a one. Man, say, why wasn't there any? Well, we give them out. I took them down there with me, but listen, by the time we got home, we just didn't have any. And they're gone. And I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I ain't got a track. I don't know how to start a conversation without a track in my hand, Lord. That's kind of what I was telling him, you know. You know, I always like to have something, you know, to open up the conversation. Let me give you this. Hey, would you take this and read it? And while I'm giving this to you, let me ask you some things. And then I had to go over and talk to him about his salvation. And like I said, he told me that I was the second man that talked to him that week about getting saved. I said, you better think about it. You better trust the Lord. And that's just one time, friend. One time. One time. But how many times, I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. But how many times has God smote our heart and we didn't do it? I can tell you there's been more times that God's probably spoke to my heart and I didn't do it than I did do it. We've always been in a hurry, always been busy, always needed to do something, always maybe afraid, fearful in our heart. Well, that's awful personal, preacher. Yeah, it's personal, but I'm going to be honest with you now. These folks slipping off into hell. I believe that's more important than how personal things can be about salvation. We've got to change our mind about some things. I mean, we're to let our light shine, but we're to go to win others and that to the Lord. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm afraid we lose our vision, not only of lost people, but I sure don't want to lose our vision one of another. I don't want to lose a vision of you, and I don't want you to lose a vision of me. Hey, listen, this church is important to me now. I mean, it's very important to me. This church is a family. He said, how do you figure that? Are we not brothers and sisters in Christ? Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mother, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. Sounds like a family to me. Treat the other folk, the older men like fathers, the older ladies like mothers, and the young men like brothers, and the young ladies like sisters. Sounds like a family. Now, I move on. I was about to say, now I ain't going to say it either. Take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You should know what I'm fixing to say. I just don't want to lose a vision. I'm not mad. Please don't think I'm preaching mad, because I am not. I'm preaching very concerned tonight. Not only for you, but for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look in verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. That's a division. One of the hardest things on a church is division. One of the hardest things in a family is division. Ain't that right? Boy, mom and daddy get something between them. That's a bad day, man. That's a bad home. If there's a division in the home, friend, it's bad. And he says right here in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body. Told about the church, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So we should care for each other. We should care for each other. I mean, we should. Well, let me read on. He said, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So he says right here, he says, look, we are the body, but he says whether one member, and we're members in particular, he said, if one member suffer, then we all suffer. How much do we do that? When people's brokenheartedness shows up, when sorrow comes and grief comes, are we really broken with them? Do we really suffer with them? If one member's honored, then all members rejoice with it. You know, it's a little easier to rejoice with people sometimes than it is to suffer with them. You know, it's awful. Let me say this. It's hard to suffer with folk when everything is going good in your life. The bills are paid. Your youngins are healthy. Job's rolling on real good. The grass is green on your side of the fence. And everything looks good. It's awful hard to suffer with folk sometimes, ain't it? You know what? I try my best to do that. I try to put myself in their shoes. What do you mean? Let me give you an example right here, and I don't want to be very morbid when I say this. Now, when I go to the funeral home and somebody's mother or father has passed away, I cannot go through that line and say, I know how you feel. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know how that feels. Some of y'all in here tonight know how that feels. But I do not know how that feels. As far as I know, my mom and daddy's up in Sweetwater tonight. As far as I know, that's where they're at. And so, and again, I don't want to be morbid. But you know, I try to put myself into that position that if this did happen to me, how would I feel? Now let me say, you don't know how you're going to feel until you get there. You just don't know. I tell people all the time, I may handle that with my head held high and everything going just fine, or I may be a blubbering idiot in the floor. I don't know how I'm going to handle it, but I know the grace of God will be there no matter what. Amen. I know the grace of God is perfect and it'll work every time. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is, friends, sometimes they need you, folk need you to suffer with them. I told you that story a long time ago when I was just 5 or 6 years, I guess I was 6, and maybe 7. I remember a boy down the road who had been in the Navy, and man, he spent a lot of time up at our house. He spent a lot of time with my daddy, and it was the reason that he went in the Navy. Daddy had been in the Navy. He went in the Navy. And anyway, he got killed in a car wreck. And I remember when my uncle called my dad and told him, said, look, David got killed in a car wreck. Will you care to go down there with me? And so they go down to the house, just down below our house. They go down and see his mom and dad. And I remember Daddy telling me not too long ago, he said, that is something I did not want to do. And boy, I appreciate the honesty. I mean, sometimes you think people can hold their head up high. And you think that I don't care, if some people don't care to go do some things. I'm going to be honest with you. Death's not a house that I really like to go visit in. You understand what I'm saying? But I remember after they went and visited and come back, and my mom got ready and got us kids ready, and we go down there. And I remember just being a boy, and I remember sitting in the kitchen. The kitchen dining room was together, and I remember sitting in the chair with that boy's mother, and I remember holding her hand just as a little boy. I remember doing it. I remember she just sat over there and cried, and I sat right next to her in that kitchen in the same chair with her and just held her hand. Now, I didn't know what to do as a boy. I didn't. Be honest with you, I was very uncomfortable. But you know what? Sometimes people just need you to hold their hand. Sometimes people just need you to be there. And I know I'm not telling you anything I ain't ever told you before. I know that. But when we lose a vision of people, when they're sorrowing, when they're rejoicing, when they're honored and they're rejoicing. Let me say this. When everything's going wrong in your house and the grass ain't green, it's awful hard to rejoice with some people when things ain't exactly right. Well, I won't say right, but when things ain't going right for you. It's hard to rejoice. But he said right here, that's what we're to do. He said, if one suffer, then we all suffer. If one's honored, then we all rejoice. But they got honored. Romans 12, he put it like this. He said, let love be without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. That's what dissimulation is. Hypocrisy. You're going to love somebody, love them. You're going to be their friend, be their friend. Don't say you are and stab them in the back. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. But when we see each other, we'll rather prefer each other. You know what? We'll put the needs of others in front of our needs. Paul said again in Galatians 5, for brethren, you be called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's a big statement, ain't it? But he goes on to say in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The one thing that I really get concerned with, not that we'll lose our side of sinners, and I hope we don't. Not we'll lose our side of Scripture. that can win sinners, that can help your home. But we'll lose sight of the saints. We'll lose sight of each other. You know that happens in homes a lot of times. You begin to take each other for granted if you ain't careful. Think about that for just a second. You just begin to take each other. Mama takes daddy for granted, or daddy takes mother for granted, or the children for granted. Children takes mom and dad for granted. Everybody just takes everybody each other for granted. And we come in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and do the same old thing with the same old people and go home. And nothing's never different. Oh, but you never know what God's doing in somebody's heart. You never know. Let me say this tonight. Don't take folk for granted here at the church. Because you never know when you might go to need them. You never know. And there's some things I've learned over the years of pastoring here. There's been some folk in here that you all have helped each other that I couldn't have helped you. But you've helped each other. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Don't want to lose our vision of each other. Churches perish because they lose a vision of each other. People perish because they lose a vision of the Word of God. And people perish because they lose a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lose a vision of Scripture, the Savior, and the saints. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't want to do that tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight. Brother Jeff, let's get a verse of invitation tonight if we could. We'll come sing. Maybe you've never been saved tonight. I want you to come and get saved. Well, I want you to know that Jesus died for you. Listen to me now. Jesus died for you yonder at Calvary. And if you'll come to Him, He'll save you. He'll save you. But where have we lost our vision tonight? Has it been with the Savior? Has it been with... How about you? How about you? Your life with Him tonight. That closeness and nearness that you once had. Do you still have that? Do you? How about your prior time? Your Bible? Just all those things. We could go on, but let's not lose our vision tonight. Not for lost people. Not of one another. Not of the Word of God. Let's go on and serve Him. Keep our eyes of our heart open and keep it soft where God can deal with it tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We love You and we thank You. And Lord, I pray tonight that each of us would keep a vision of each of these things, to see the importance of the Word of God in our life and in our home and in this church. The importance of You high and lifted up. For You said that if You be lifted up, You draw all men unto You. To keep that picture of You on the cross of what You've done for sinners. As Paul said, preaching You crucified. And Lord, I'm glad that the tomb's empty. But it's yonder at Calvary that You paid for our sin. And I thank You for that. Let us keep a vision of those that are lost around us. And Lord, we pray tonight that for the church we'd keep a vision of one another. And to see those that are struggling, those that are in need. And when those are honored, we'd rejoice with them also. Lord, would You help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Stand on our feet tonight, church.